Radio Devon, Richard Green taking you through until 2 after 1. It is Richard Green's Sporting Years. We'll also have a bit of a chat with Alan Richardson about what's going on this afternoon sporting-wise. Plenty of rugby, to be perfectly honest, because the Women's Rugby World Cup is being staged at Exeter Sandy Park today. But sooner than that, we'll be hearing from Sananda Maitreya. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, who is Sananda Maitreya? Well, contractually, I'm not able to actually tell you what his former name was, but you will know Sananda Maitreya from the late 1980s. He had hits such as If You Let Me Stay, Wishing Well, Delicate, albums such as Introducing the Hardline, according to Sananda Maitreya. He's coming to the UK this year and will be having a chat to the rather eccentric gentleman from Milan in just a few ticks.
What do you love about Devon in the autumn?
We've got the local beaches that we can go to. So we've got Seaton, we've got Wembury.
I like getting in the sea, so nice and cold.
Still beautiful, nature at its best still.
Oh, the leaves falling from the trees.
The autumn colours, so that's what I like.
Dartmoor, the woods, going walking, seeing nature.
Devon is a wonderful county. I think it's a lovely place to live.
Loving Devon in the autumn.
I wouldn't live anywhere else.
This is BBC Radio Devon.
Richard Green. BBC Radio Devon.
Sweetheart, listen. I know the last few things haven't been good for the both of us. And I've caused you a lot of grief. But put those bags down, okay? Before you make a decision like that, please just listen to me. Because I don't want you to leave. I definitely don't want you to leave. Just hear me out.
Is with me here on BBC Radio Devon. I've got to say, a very warm welcome, Sananda. I know you live over there in Milan. So how is life in Italy with Francesca and the kids in Milan? What's it like living over in Italy for you?
Well, first of all, now that you said you were actually from Devon, I'm kind of interested because I would love to have my feet in the water right now. What a beautiful part of the world you live in. So first of all, I'm impressed. Life here is exactly what life needs to be. The thing about where I am in Italy, in general, Italian culture has always been very, very embracing of the arts. You know, these kind of cultures, once they tend to embrace you, it isn't a matter of whether you're aging or any of that. It's just a matter of whether you're continuing to do something that satisfies them or moves them. And the type of cultures that once they've accepted you in, they want to continue accepting you until you forfeit that privilege yourself with whatever you may or may not be doing. So it's a great environment for art, whether it's, you know, music or fashion or painting or whatever. It's just one of those great cultures to be involved in when you're involved in, you know, these professions, because they do consider it just as important a part of their experience of themselves as they would food or any other politics or religion or any other aspect of their lives.
I liken you to the great Prince, in that Prince was an extraordinary musician, superb guitarist for starters, okay, would churn out music by the dozen. He would have vaults full of songs. Some were superb, some were not so great, etc. But it was just in him, and it defied almost explanation in terms of what Prince was, other than he just was extraordinary. So I'm likening you to Prince, Sinander.
Wow, that's. But I, at the same time, I'm not really surprised. We were very close, and I did look up to him greatly. And I had the experience that him and Bruce Springsteen were, of the people that I did regard as his mentors, they were probably the two most accessible as far as, you know, just making themselves as available at any time to just be sounding boards or just to, you know, hear you perhaps kvetch and complain about some stuff that generally only other artists really can understand. So that's not surprising at all. I think he recognized a kind of kindredness as well very, very early, which is why he reached out to me very early. He reached out to us before we even were finished printing the first record. We were actually still mixing it when he had gotten wind of what was happening through whatever channels he managed. But we basically, once we made contact, we were pretty at a pretty close psychic connection, if you will.
So obviously that's your connection with Prince there, and you've been very generous there with the connection that he made towards you all those years ago, 35, 37 years or so ago. Yes. Do you agree with the sort of analogy I'm drawing, though? Do you agree with, you know, there you are, your recent albums have all been double albums or treble albums, etc. You churn out a lot of what's within you, and I'm sort of drawing that similarity. I'm not saying you're the same, of course not.
Here's the situation, though. No, I appreciate very much where you're coming from. Here's the thing, though. Ultimately, it comes down to the fact that once I detached from my former associations and was able to then experience the complete freedom that just isn't available to most of us, okay, most of us have to compromise at best to kind of fit our vision, if we have one. Not every artist does. Not every our artist needs to have a vision. We are equally served by people who just want to be entertainers and just take the best stuff they're given and make the best of it. So for those of us who actually have the capacity to grow and develop unfettered, only extends the responsibility greater. Only feels more responsibility to do that. Because just as you were watching Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys, just as you were watching, you know, George Martin Productions and learning from Quincy Jones Productions, and just as you were absorbing all of this incredible music from everyone, from the Beatles to Rod Stewart to Steely Dan to Chic to whoever the hell was inspiring you at the time, I knew that I was in possession of a particular vision that did not exist anywhere else except as filtered through me. And I felt if I did not respond to that, it would be lost to time. And because I had nothing trying to shape or manipulate where my thought process was, the energy came back to me to create even more. You become surprised yourself at just what flows, and it just flows like a fountain that's finally been uncorked and untapped. And at the end of the day, what else the hell am I here for anyway? Because, you know, after the, you know, even having gone with the cancer and everything, tomorrow isn't promised to us. And we live now in a time where we are not limited by vinyl, although ironically now Sony is preparing the first four records that we collaborated on for vinyl release under the name Sonanda Maitreya. So that's ironic. But not being limited now by the length of CDs or the length of streaming, you don't worry about the old thought we had was, who's going to sit and listen to this at once? It's just too many songs. People don't listen like that anyway anymore. So here is my harvest, my latest harvest. I want you to have all of it. And you'll listen to it as you listen to it and when you listen to it. I'm just grateful that you're accepting it into your experience.
Kissing like a bandit, stealing time underneath the sycamore tree. Cupid by the arson, Valentine's to my sweet lover and maid. Slowly but surely, your appetite is more than I knew. Sweetly, softly, I'm falling in love with you. Wish me love, a wishing well, to kiss and tell.
Wishing well, Sonanda Maitreya. Sonanda, in his previous guise, you'll know from introducing the Hardline, from Neither Fish Nor Flesh, Symphony or Damn, Vibrator and Wildcard. And more recently, he's done albums such as Angels and Vampires, The Sphinx, Pandora's Playhouse, and most recently, The Pegasus Project, Pegasus and the Swan. And when I caught up with Sonanda via Milan, I asked him how he feels about producing all this music nowadays and how it's starting to gain momentum.
I'm Johnny Appleseed. That's my job. My job is to plant the seeds that time and inspiration give me. Okay, we have Angels of Mercy, and many of us are very cognizant of the fact that we work in conjunction and in tandem with the Angels of Mercy. This is what they give me. I'm a gardener. It is not always up to me when the seeds sprout. I may be given geranium seeds and then they come up almost overnight. I may be given the seed of an oak tree and it will take the time, like Neither Fish Nor Flesh. It took the time it took before finally people saw what it was. we would that all artists would, that we could instantly go, voila, there it is. And it grows into the size we believe it. But we also have to surrender to a larger process because we serve time. We serve evolution. And so it is not meet that everything should instantly sprout, because we also have to understand that there are seasons. You may plant something or be called to plant something in a more fallow season. It just takes the time it takes before, voila, again, there it is. That's what it was meant to be. It has never been a better time to be an artist, to just follow your head, do what you want, and just let time bring to you what is yours, okay? Because one of the reasons that I went under my identity crisis was there was a period of 2 years where I was tussling back and forth with Sony over my identity. And they made it clear that though you might have brought us this name, we now own this name. This is ours. So, of course, I had to awaken to realize that either I accept that and continue to serve or try to maneuver myself under the banner of something someone else owned, or I could tap back into my deep reservoir of faith in myself and in my mission, reinvent, and just later come out saying, now, how you like me now?
Okay, so UK tour coming up. October the 25th is when you start. You're playing the Shepherd's Bush Empire, 5th of November, that up there in London. That's going to be probably, you know, the big sort of gig of the tour, if you like. Why after 20...
They're all big, Richard. How dare you?
Well, indeed, I know they are, but you know what I mean. Why after 23 years, Sananda, why after 23 years is now the right time to come to the UK and present yourself?
Because as much as we love the Brits, as long as we love the culture, you bitches can be kind of slow and stubborn, okay? And until the reality that I had created was acknowledged on even terms, what was the point? There was no point. And my concept of time is that I will be given all the time I need to do what I'm here to do. And so precisely because of how important Britain was to the beginning of my, I owe my career to Britain, but I also owe my demise to her. And I had to get over the bitterness. I had to get over the anger. Didn't you recognize that I was there for you and not against you? What was this about? You know, just the way it happened was just like one moment you're here, next moment you're not. And it was such a brutal transition in either direction. One moment you're unknown, next moment you're the most famous guy, next moment you're lying on the side of the tracks, bleeding and wounded. It took a while. All I was doing was doing what time asked me to surrender to, which was the zeitgeist and where things were going. At some point, you have to drop your oars and just trust the direction of the river. And I had absolute faith that if I'd followed those instincts I were given to guide my life, everything would turn out well. And now, to the point where there is no bitterness, there is no anger, there is only excitement and joy that I finally get to come back and reignite a relationship with the woman who basically gave me that opportunity in the first place.
In your spirit now about those flowers, those pieces of fruit that you had on those first four albums? Are you warm towards them, or bearing in mind your change, your rebranding, are you sort of a little bit reticent about them?
There is no reticence. First of all, let's just, the relationship that I have with Sony now is nowhere in the same vicinity of where it was then. I mean, it's like at some point, to use the old analogy, you keep running the water in the glass and the milk clears, and it's not cloudy anymore. It's just very clear because time has made it clear. It took a while for them to come to terms with it. It took a while for me to come to terms with the fact that it was going to take a while for them to come to terms with it. But the point is, those first four albums were the ones that we collaborated on, you know, as opposed to the many opportunities I might have had to get back those masters completely. I'm content that I own the publishing, and I'm content to share with them those because, frankly, they paid for them. You know, it was my talent, but this was what the agreement was. So it's no point in coming back now after the fact and pretending that I was robbed or something, you know, untoward happened. What happened was my initiation into the business. What I got in return was, no matter how tumultuous and treacherous, I got a life that I'm still benefiting greatly from. So there is no reticence whatsoever. My greatest problem right now is that there are so many songs I'm excited to present that they're now fighting for space because I'm trying to limit the situation to 2 hours. So that's the greatest problem I have, and that's a good problem to have. But it will certainly be with an overview towards, from the time when we began to where we are now, this is basically a compendium of what post-millennium rock is. For me, England is still the most culturally and musically literate place on earth, and it is still the place that I absolutely am just most convinced will just get it. You know, we like to shake the tree and the nuts to fall when we want, but some hang on until it's time to fall. And this is one of those situations. So I'm very, very excited. I really am. I put this into the club scene deliberately because, you know, I didn't want festivals and theaters and largeness is a different type of energy and pressure I don't need right now. Right now I need this intimacy. I need to caress this woman that is this culture in an intimate environment and let her know how much love is still there for her.
Now listen, Sananda, I remember seeing you back in the day when you were introducing the Hardline, when you were introducing the Hardline on that sort of debut tour in the UK, right? So my question simply here is, you know, you had such energy, such vibrancy in that 1987, 1988 time when I saw you on tour. I can only imagine that energy is still inside you. And when people come to see you, they're going to witness not only extraordinary musicianship, but they're going to witness something extraordinary in terms of, you know, stagecraft in front of a few hundred people or a few thousand people.
I think the most extraordinary thing that we witness is just the way music as a conduit for our spirit just connects us in these ways that we clearly need. We need communion, and this is my religion. In the way it brings us into this space to remind one another that there is something that we share that is perhaps larger than us, that's the greater point. I remember the late, great Miles Davis saying to me years and years ago, he said, you know, you're a hell of a performer, but you're an even greater musician. And that should be what your future unfolds to share. Because one day you're going to be 40 and you're going to wonder, why I got to still jump around the stage like this? Same thing happened to Hendrix, where at some point he just wanted to be left alone to play his instrument and not have to play it with his teeth if he wasn't feeling like it. But of course, what Miles was saying is you're grooming people that every time they come to see you, you've got to be this whirling dervish that's all over the place. And he said, you don't have to do that. You just have to basically settle within yourself and accept that you have what's most important and leave that to your youth, basically.
Sananda Maitreya, whose tour is coming to the UK this October.